Earlier this year, the federal government secured the passage of its Gonski 2.0 education funding package. For the last few months, a panel led by David Gonski has been looking at how to make sure that funding produces the maximum possible benefit for schools and for students. Now, my next guest knows a thing or two about how to achieve that. Sir Kevin Collins is the head of Britain's Education Endowment Fund. He was appointed as evidence champion by the UK government to support social mobility in disadvantaged areas. Sir Kevin, welcome to RN Drive.
Thank you.
Now, you're in Australia to speak to the Gonski 2.0 review panel and also to our education ministers. What's your key message to them about how to improve performance in our disadvantaged schools?
Well, my key message is that I've had the joy and privilege of being in Australia many times, and my key message is that you have some great schools in Australia. But the challenge is that they're not all great, and you have huge variation between and within schools. So, and that's the same as the UK. So what the question that I'm trying to work on is, how do you help all schools become great, and how do you give schools the chance to make better decisions, to spend their money more wisely, and use evidence to inform their practice?
And you were given the task of improving school outcomes in, I think, 11 so-called cold spots in the UK. How did you go about doing that, and what lessons can we learn from that experience?
So that work is relatively new, but I have had broad experience in working in some of England's most challenging areas, in East London particularly. And our lessons there are that the most important resource we have in education, of course, are our teachers. And how do we create teachers and support teachers to be the best they can be? And there it seems that there's a huge payback if you build their professional capacity. You know, in education, you can either throw money at the problem. That doesn't really seem to work in its own terms. You need enough, but there's no relationship directly between money and improved performance, I'm afraid. You can pull accountability levers and get people under a tight accountability framework. That kind of runs out after a while. The real battle is to build capacity of the system to make better decisions, for teachers to behave in the ways that great teachers behave and help people become better teachers.
Does building capacity mean allowing schools to do what they think is best and letting them fly off on their own journey?
Well, one of the problems with education is that there has been a tradition of a huge amount of folklore and snake oil and innovation for innovation's sake. Now, I say this as someone who started teaching in London, what, 36 years ago. What we're missing and what we need is not folklore, not some ideology. What we need is the hard evidence and the information that comes from rigorous evaluation to inform our work, more akin, if you like, to medicine.
Well, we see time and time again when a new system is introduced, often at a sort of a state level, the government changes after that, the system is declared to have failed by the new political masters, something new is brought in to replace it, the cycle continues. I mean, how long do these big changes take to have some kind of influence on school outcomes before we either thumbs up, thumbs down?
Well, the evidence that we run in the UK with the Endowment Foundation, we've now got one in three schools in England, and that, you know, we have 24,000 schools, twice what Australia have. We've got one in three of them involved in trials, in randomised control trials that we fund. So schools are up for this. You can build solid evidence. A trial takes about 18 months. You know, you have to set it up. The kids have to engage in the activity. You have to evaluate it properly and thoroughly. But that's 18 months well spent, because the legacy then is not just activity. The legacy is knowledge. Now, in Australia, like in England, we have many, many examples of legacy of activity. We don't have much examples of legacy of knowledge. And that's my my quest, is to build a great legacy of knowledge then we can share with each other when we go about another change. By the way, the other key thing for me is who tells you what to do. Your point is really apt, that too often you get a change in government, you get a change in priorities, and teachers become very cynical about change and therefore just dig in and really just carry on with what they're doing. So we have to find ways of get trusted information. So it's important for me the foundation in England is independent of government. We were supported by government, we got set up by government, but we're totally independent. So schools, when we produce a report, they know that we're not based on ideology, we have no interest. We will just say it as it is, positive, negative, come what may, and people like that.
Now, Another respected international expert who's in Australia today, Andreas Schleicher, says Australia needs to value education in the same way it's valued in countries like China and Singapore. I think the idea is that those students are pushed really, really, really hard. Where do you see those kind of cultural differences factoring into performance and where we should be aiming?
Well, I would say, wouldn't I, that education is probably the most important thing that any nation invests in. It's his future, it's his people. And you have to create education systems that are relevant to your culture and your values. Now, you can't transpose the values of one nation to another, and Australia has to build an education that works for it. And there are many schools in Australia that do as well as any school. So the question about that is, why can't all Australian schools be as good as Australia's best schools? Because I think if that happens, you know, you'll be taking everybody on. So I'm more interested in building in Australia. Andrea said today something interesting. He talked about education becoming intellectually enriching for teachers. And I think that means teachers need to be empowered. Teachers need to be trusted. But teachers need to be charged and obliged to be professional in using the evidence of what works in their practice. I find it unfortunate that there are too many ideological debates rather than evidence-informed debates.
Now, Andreas Schleicher argues that Australia used to have one of the world's leading school systems, but we've fallen behind. Do you agree with him? And what do you see as the long-term consequences if that is the case?
Well, the headline data from something like PISA does indicate that many of us who decades ago were the world's leading education systems have been overtaken by new emerging systems. Mm. I was in Vietnam myself a couple of months ago, and it's remarkable what's happening. We have to step up. We have to step up to produce an education system that will compete, but more importantly, will deliver for our young people the kind of outcomes we need for our nation to thrive. So I think the lessons are here in Australia is where I'd use my reference point. I'd go to great Australian schools, and I'd use those as what the example of what Australian children can achieve, as well as look for examples around the world. But I start at home, and I'd build from the best here. Because until we deal with the variation between and within schools, we're not really harvesting what we already have as resources.
I'm very interested. You talk about the variation within schools. I mean, we know that some parts of Australia don't do as well as others. I think Tasmania and the Northern Territory do particularly poorly. But you're also talking about the differences within schools. What? The kids with different abilities or different socioeconomic backgrounds are better off than other groups within the school?
Definitely that the education systems tend to favour children from already advantaged backgrounds. But even more than that, if you walk into many people may remember the day their child starts school and will think about which teacher did my child get. At the teacher level, the variation is huge. It's a profession that isn't reliable enough, in my view. So within school variation, same children, same school, same curriculum, which teacher teaches you makes a huge difference to the progress you will make. And so we need to get all teachers performing as well as great teachers to consistently do.
Do we need to pay teachers more money?
It's not about money. I don't think it's about money. I think we need to pay teachers well. And I was a teacher, so I'd say that, wouldn't I?
Do you think we pay them well enough?
I think when you look at the comparisons, Australia's teachers are paid as well as anyone's teachers, really. And in the very high-performing systems, it's not money. And when you ask teachers and analyse the data, it isn't about money. It's about the idea that you are trusted, you're respected in your work, that you are supported to improve. One of the interesting bits of data on where teachers will go to work is where they believe they will be supported. And we haven't been good at growing teachers, at following them through their life cycle of teaching. There's a bit of investment at the beginning when you train, and then you're left alone too often. We need to support teachers all the way through the life of teaching, build our teachers, trust our teachers, but then challenge them to perform and to get progress in their children as every bit as good as the progress of our best teachers.
Mm. Sir Kevin Collins, head of Britain's Education Endowment Fund, thanks so much for speaking to
Thank you very much for having me on.